Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, it's that time. Time for Walking in Power Radio, where we present powerful interviews with powerful people, with your host, Dr. Vijay Relaford, visionary and founder of Women of Power Incorporated and executive director of the Women of Power Network, where we produce with power.
She's gentle, she's strong,
she's strong.
Of your favorite song, incredible, what you can achieve, when she really, really believes, the force behind every word and thing, she'll sacrifice and do whatever it takes, never underestimate.
And now, your host, Dr. Vijay Relaford.
I tell you, that song gets me going every time. That's Antonia Lawrence, my theme song, The Power of a Woman. Yes, it is. I'm excited to have you with us this morning. As our announcer stated, I'm your host, Dr. Vijay Relaford, and I'm welcoming you to our sixth season, where we host powerful interviews with powerful people. That's Antonia Lawrence's song, The Power of a Woman, may be purchased on multiple media outlets, iTunes, Reverb Nation. So please go out and take a look at that. Our guest today, our special guest today, is Elder Sarah Grace. She's one of my daughters in the ministry, in the gospel. But however, she is also a woman of God. I have seen her walk the walk of singlehood for a few years now. So I want her... She has some tools that I think that will really be a blessing to each of us. Also, we have the sounds of Billy Bradley Jr. and Heart of Fortune. Hey, think about it. Would you like to share your business, product, project, and or ministry on Walking in Power Radio? Please email walkinginpower1@women-of-power.org. That's walkinginpower1@women-of-power.org for affordable marketing opportunities. Now a word from our advertisers and our sponsors, and we'll be right back with you.
Have you desired to write that devotional, memoir, novel, or personal story for years, yet you can't seem to make any progress? Well, we can help. With more than 30 years of experience supporting global corporations, international ministries, and solopreneurs worldwide, we operate as a spiritual midwife to assist you in birthing forth your vision. Our knowledge and expertise in ghostwriting, indie publishing, and graphic design will provide you with excellent support you need to get your story told now. Visit us today at dhbonner.net and schedule your complimentary consultation. DH Bonner Virtual Solutions, LLC, let us help you get the words from heart to paper to published.
Let's now hear from Billy Bradley Jr. and Heart of Worship. This is my heart to worship.
Here
That's Billy Bradley Jr. with Heart of Worship. Here is my heart to worship. Oh, my goodness. As a matter of fact, Elder Sarah Grace and Billy Bradley Jr. and Heart of Worship will be coming to a city near you. So please look out for them. Elder Sarah Grace, she's an author, speaker, and Bible teacher. She's becoming well known for her remarkable testimonies of victory, difficulties, and her God-given ability to deliver spiritual wisdom to just about any crowd she encounters. Her first speaking engagement was just weeks after her conversion at the age of 21, and she has since been blessed to minister within the Christian community as well as secular organizations such as shelters, halfway houses, and her local juvenile detention center. She considers it an honor to be under the spiritual covering of Pastor Mary and Dr. B.J. Relico as part of Vision Global Alliance, with whom she is also licensed and ordained as an elder in the Christian faith. On a personal level, she's a business owner and a mother to 7 beautiful children who she homeschools in Tennessee, whom she adoringly calls her 7 from heaven. Let's welcome back to Walking in Power, Elder Sarah Grace. Hello, hello there.
Good morning, good morning. What a blessing to be back on with you.
Oh, we're so happy to have you. We've been so excited and looking forward to this opportunity.
Amen.
I'm not going to take up a lot of time because I know you got a lot of information. But what we're talking about this morning, and I really felt led to have you as a part of this conversation because I believe you can speak to some of the stereotypes and some of the stigmas that's in place on singlehood. So the Lord gave me the validity of singlehood on Valentine's Day. So I looked up validity and I began to study, and it says a quality of being logically or factually sound, soundness, or state of being legally or officially binding or acceptable. So being single is acceptable. Being single is a quality or a state of being. Then I went back, Elder Sarah, to Psalms 139:14, and the Bible says, I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful, and I know that full well. I would like us to have a discussion today to allow men and women that are walking the ministry of singlehood to know full well how important they are to not only themselves, but to the kingdom of God.
Amen. Amen.
Yeah, it just really is. So tell me something. What do you think, or what do you believe, or why do you believe society places a stigma on singlehood?
Well, it's a wonderful, wonderful question and so necessary. And I just thank God for the Spirit of the Lord putting it on your heart to do what you're doing today in addressing this because, you know, I can speak from the side of being married and single. I've been single now after a divorce for 5 years, going on 6 years now. And I was never Christian and single prior to my marriage because I got married and born again all within about the same week. So when I got divorced and had to step out there, I had no idea, none, what I was going to experience. And I thought because I had Jesus and the Bible and some great preaching friends and all of those things that, you know, I would be exempt from what people go through in the world. But Dr. BJ, I have come to find out that society does paint us as cripples, as if we are broken, if we are not fulfilled. And I think that the one thing that the church does that we all need to repent from is, first of all, we look at the world for our ideal. And that's number one. Why are we even looking at the world for our ideal? And, you know, I did not grow up in the traditional church setting. I didn't come to the Lord until my 20s. But I, from the age of maybe 10, 11, 12, I can remember thinking that the end all of a life is finding that man to love you. And I began my chase very, very young in life. And I even engaged in some things I shouldn't have been doing way younger than an average person. And I became romantically involved, I'll say. From the age of 12 years old, I had my little boyfriends. And then when I came to the Lord, you know, I got married. So I thought, oh, there's a big fat, you know, Band-Aid on that. You know, I'm fixed now. And then, you know, you don't know until you're divorced. But I had to really seek God and say, God, why do I feel so broken when I first was divorced? Why do I feel that I am not complete? now that I'm not married. I literally feel like I'm handicapped and broken. And then I begin to look around at how relationship worship has become a part of the world system. And what I mean by that is go and turn on Netflix. You're going to find probably 80% of the movies are love movies or relationship-based movies. And listen, I love a good rom-com. I love romantic dramas. I love love. I'm a hopeless romantic, as they say. But when you really look deep and you don't have the Holy Spirit to bring that balance and you don't have the biblical principles of the Word of God to bring balance, you will start to look at those movies and listen to these songs that all make you feel as if you are not living until you've been loved by a man, or if you're a man, until you've been loved by a woman. And it will make you start looking at yourself as less than if you don't have that romantic drama taking place in your life. If you turn on the radio and all of the songs are about, you know, breakups, and I mean literally lyrics saying things such as "I'll die without you." I mean, it's extreme, and we don't even realize that we're being programmed from the world system, the world media, from the time we're small children, to believe that we are not good enough until somebody loves us. So, of course, once I discovered that, I had to go to the Word of God, and I had to say, God, what do you say? Because this is valid. This is real. I feel handicapped. I feel broken. When I look at other people that are in love, I start thinking, what is wrong with me? And then if you've been in any kind of abuse, or if you've been in any kind of relationship where you have been denied faithfulness, or denied being celebrated and been rejected, you really start to think the problem is with you. But I would love to just, I don't want to get too preachery, but I'd love to just start out with the scripture, too, that God gave me this morning. And all I kept hearing him say is, tell my people they're complete. They're complete with or without a mate. And that's not taking away from the beauty of marriage, but, you know, our topic today is to focus on single people. But this right. is my disclaimer. I believe in love and marriage. I think it's a beautiful thing. I love when I look up and see you and Pastor Marion on your partner praise nights and all these beautiful things. But you are still complete individual of each other. In Colossians right. chapter 2, verse 8 through 10, this is what the Bible says, just to validate what I said about relationship worship. And again, not saying it's wrong to enjoy a nice, fun movie or listen to some music, as long as it doesn't push you in a direction of sin. But we have to acknowledge that we have been placed up against the reflection of something that we're not to look at for our value. Colossians 2, verses 8 through 10 says, beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of this world, and not according to Christ. Verse 9 says, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and you are complete in him. Verse 10 says this, singles, you are complete in yes. him, who is the head of all principality and power. So to nutshell my longer answer, I believe that society and media has created a standard that on our tippy toes we'll never reach. So we must go back to the Word of God and know, whether we're single or married, before we add another person to our lives, we are complete in Christ.
I agree with you wholeheartedly. And you know, and once you said that about movies and Netflix and everything, because I guess I really hadn't paid it that much attention. But you're right. Most of the dramas or the movies, they're dealing with relationships. And I guess that's what in Hollywood or whatever, that's what sells. But what are we programming ourselves to say? Now, mm-hmm, you made a very mm-hmm. good point there. You are whole. You are whole. You are not broken. You are not broken, and you're right. You made some very valid points. Well, let me ask you something while we're talking about this. Do you believe it's important as a single woman to strive to establish financial security? In other words, okay, are you looking for the male? What is the male or female bringing to the table? I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
Amen, amen. That's an excellent question again, too. And if I have never known it to be true like I do now, oh my goodness, I am absolutely convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that not only should a woman or a man, you know, because regardless, either way, should not right. be focused on seeking out, you know, seeking a relationship as a priority, but it will contradict the very plan of God for your life, because the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God. and his righteousness, and all things shall be added to you. And within the kingdom of God, if you break down the word kingdom, that's the king's dominion, the king's rule. So you are called to purpose before you're called to relationship. Even if you go back to Adam, when Adam was first placed in the garden, though God had already honestly created Adam and Eve, because if you back up a couple of verses, you find out he created them in spirit, but he formed them in the dust later. But God first acquainted Adam with his purpose. And then he began to help him understand what he was created to do, and then added Eve. So even though that was the male and female model, I still believe we can draw principle from that, that you were first created for purpose. Matter of fact, Eve was purposed to help Adam, and Eve couldn't even show up until Adam was walking in his purpose. And Eve had to be created and formed to fulfill the purpose that she was given in the role in the life of Adam. So the point being is that our purpose must become first. And when you are operating purpose, you're always going to align yourself with prosperity. And from a personal testimonial standpoint, I can say that when I was divorced, I had a bank full of money. I can't even lie. I was doing well. I had 2 debt-free cars. I had a house in the suburbs. But it was a very quick ripple effect that all of that began to get drained out. And all of a sudden, I was down to nothing. And it's easy for you to think that a man could rescue you. But I look at my situation and say, I have 7 children, and I'm coming out of a situation that did have bondage associated with it, and it was not a healthy situation. And the last thing I want to do is run back into a place of desperation and end up becoming enslaved into some type of abuse or something because I'm too quick to run into something because I need my needs met? No, uh-uh. I heard a woman of God say once, when you have a problem, such as a financial problem, because we need money to live, that if you seek for answers from other people, you become enslaved to those answers. But if you seek what God has placed on the inside of you, you become liberated. And that shook me down to my core. And as a result of it, today I have a graphic design company that I'm using by the grace of God and the favor of God to feed my 7 children. And I can say I rely on no human being, no man, to pay my bills and pay my rent. And that's a wonderful, wonderful feeling because now I know if, in fact, and I'll say this, I'm okay whether God does or not. I'm okay whether God ever brings a man in my life or not. There were times I couldn't say that, but I'm really there. I'm like, God, it's me and you no matter what. So if you choose to add somebody else in, then that's great. But if not, I know that I can live the rest of my life in purpose. And a man that would want to approach me, I know that he can only help me fulfill my destiny, but he is not going to be, you know, pardon the expression, but he's not going to be my sugar daddy. He's not going to take care of my needs because I have the Abba daddy. I have the Abba father that not only provides supernaturally by touching people's hearts to bless me sometimes and give us this or that because we are blessed in that way, but he touched my spirit to produce a company that can provide for my children so my children are now acquainted with, so that if God ever sends a natural father back into their life, that they will know that God was first their provider. So I believe that for the sake of you manifesting the purpose that God has for you in your life, you must seek God for your purpose. And your purpose is not always going to be just preaching and charismatic spiritual things, but God will give you a marketplace purpose that will provide your needs so that you are not needy and you are not found wanting, so that you not only are able to bring something to the table, but you can sit and eat all by yourself if the Lord doesn't see fit to bring that companion to you. So I really do encourage every single person, male or female. And listen, I have brothers in the Lord that I talk to very deeply about these topics. And I tell my brothers in the Lord, work your garden. You know, what has God given you to take dominion over? And I've even told men, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Mama BJ, Dr. BJ, but I told them, don't go chasing women. Work your garden and let her show up in your ministry. Let her show up on the front row of your revival. Let her show up in your store, in your marketplace ministry. But when you work your garden, God will bring your Eve right to you. So purpose is always going to align you with prosperity, and many times that is in the marketplace. So absolutely beyond a shadow of a doubt, put your purpose and your prosperity as far as God's will for your life. I'm not talking about chasing money, but being conscious of it. So not just from a business standpoint of being able to cross off your negative items on your expense list, but to be able to align with purpose, and you're going to see God bring wholeness in your spirit, in your soul, and in your finances.
I agree with that. You said some very key points in there, because once you do otherwise, you become desperate. And when you become desperate, you do things that you haven't really thought about, prayed about, meditated on, and they become devastating to where you're going.
Yeah.
They can become, I'm going to say that again, they can become devastating to where you're going, because a situation you may be in right now is not where you will be tomorrow or next week or next year. So make we gotta be very mindful of our decisions. And don't, you said another thing, you'll be held bondage or enslaved to that person that you thought came in riding on a white horse. You know, we got to get away from that and look at ride on King Jesus, and he will bring
you.
Yes. And don't get me wrong, I don't take it lightly. I don't take it lightly. I'm very conscious of the single women that are in that walk in this world that we live in. So I want to know, I respect the walk, but I don't take it lightly that it's an easy walk, women and men. But I also want you to know, I don't want you to be in bondage or enslaved, as you said, to someone just to have someone hanging on your arm. Because a lot of times you see all these couples with everybody hanging on their arms. You don't know if they're hanging together at home or not. I'm going to leave that alone.
Right. Amen.
Well, let me ask you this, because I don't want to give out of time. As a single woman, what are the expectations you require and believe men and women should require when seeking God for a mate?
Amen. Another excellent, excellent question. I think that my umbrella statement, you know, for the sake of time, it's always going to go back to purpose. I believe that culture and society, and it's crept into the church, has made us to think that we should look for a man or a woman that looks good on our arm, looks good in our selfie, has a lot of money, you know, has great connections. Of course, you know, as a preacher, you can imagine. I don't want to throw shade on my inbox, but I get all types of church, and, you know, I just say, wait a minute. But does it align with my purpose? And I teach any single that comes in my path, and I constantly remind myself that the number one qualification to be considered for courtship, friendship or courtship, because dating, that's a whole other conversation, friendship or courtship, meaning that, you know, I'm not out here testing out what's on the market. But if I'm going to take time and invest in you, and you invest in getting to know me on the phone and get to know my church family or whoever it is, because if you're going to get that close to me, that's the first place you should be, not the last. You shouldn't be in the movies with me holding my hand and a popcorn and then find out I go to such and such church. But you got to align with my purpose, and I'm not looking for someone, and I hope that singles listen to me closely, I'm not looking for someone or waiting upon or considering anyone that is just going to bring a sense of validity to my identity or make me feel good about myself, but someone that can actually be a companion to fulfill my destiny. So for each individual, that's going to change, because if you're a doctor, a lawyer, a preacher, for example, the lifestyle I live, it's a very consecrated life. I don't consider myself a religious, traditional type of person, but people that can come in my house and see that what I will not look at on TV, what I will not listen to, what I will not participate with, some men would be like, you're too deep, you're too spiritual. So number one, I got to know, can you handle my consecration? Can you handle the fact that my money is always going to be laid before Christ's feet before it gets to my shopping list? And can you handle it if the Lord says, drop a $750 fee? And, you know, you wanted to buy a boat instead. So you got to talk to that person about destiny, purpose, principles, and how you want to live your life. And don't even consider that first, quote, date when you have not established whether or not your destinies are compatible. So you have to know who you are, what God has called you to do, and then you have to consider, are those things compatible? I believe my divorce, along with many divorces I've seen, have come, and breakups have come because people were attracted to one another, and they brought a sense of wholeness and validation to one another, but they did not, in fact, have compatible destinies.
Wow. You got to say that again about your destiny being compatible.
Yes. You don't want to be with someone to validate your identity, to make you feel good about you. Ooh, he's fine. Ooh, this girl look good. Ooh, they make me happy. They make my heart flutter. Oh, glory. You need to find somebody that can help you fulfill your destiny. Can she carry, I don't want to get a preach in me, but can that woman carry the seed of your destiny and multiply it and cause you to take dominion in the earth in the way that God has called you to do it? And can that woman with that beautiful hair and that light skin and that great outfit, does she have the capacity to shake hands with your church members and encourage them and not run them away? Does that man have the ability to hold you when you're spiritually pregnant with an idea in business and you need somebody to help you to birth it out in the spirit and say, baby, you got this. Go ahead and birth out that daycare. Go ahead and birth out that ministry. Go ahead and birth out that business and be able to stand with you. Are you going to cause miscarriages to one another in your destiny? It's all about purpose and destiny. You are here for purpose and destiny. You're not here to look cute. And all that extra romantic stuff, that is wonderful. But that's cherries on top of the ice cream. That's not the substance of it.
It's the word. It's the word. That's a good word. I knew the Lord was going to use you today. I just knew that. You were the vessel to be used for this, because it's so. I take it so seriously. I take hearts and lives so very seriously, and I think sometimes we take. And I'm gonna be very honest. I think sometimes those of us that are married take for granted, and I don't. I want to make sure that our listeners hear our heart that we care, we love, and we respect, because we respect your walk, your single walk. Because you are valid. The quality of being logically or factually sound is a fact. It's a fact. The state of being legally or officially binding or acceptable. You are accepted. You are accepted. I don't care what anybody else says. Begin to speak into your own life and say, "You are. I am accepted. I am who the Lord says I am." Elder Grace, before we go, I'm going to ask if you just pray for people. And just whatever the Lord lays on your heart. We got about 2 minutes. Just give him what God has given you.
Praise God. Well, thank you so much again for having me. It's an honor and a privilege. And I thank you all for listening this morning. Please continue to keep an eye on what God is doing through Dr. BJ and Walking with Power. I just want to encourage you today that you are complete in Christ. And I pray for every place your heart is broken, every place your mind is confused, every place you have lost hope. And I just speak to your heart in the name of Jesus. And I pray that you have hope for God to bring love into your life if it is in fact his will for you. But I want you to know that if he never does another thing, he's worth every breath in your body. He's worthy. He's worth every word in your mouth. So I encourage you to sell out and completely self-abandon yourself to Christ today. Let him fill the broken places of your life. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray for every individual listening, even if there be some married people that have been broken and hurt. I pray for the brokenhearted, the wounded, and the confused. I pray in the name of Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, that you would begin to just fill in every broken place. Fill it in with revelation. Fill it in with the power of the Holy Spirit. And I pray you give them a vision this morning of their future. Give them a vision this morning of their purpose and identity. Align them with your purpose. I pray if anyone is connected outside of the will of God to somebody that you are trying to loose them from so that they can move forward in their destiny, that you move in their hearts and their lives. Bring the Holy Ghost navigation system to every one of their decisions. And it's in Jesus' name that I pray and I commit these people into your hands. Let your will be done. And let this time next year, that let them have a testimony that they are whole, they are healed, and they are happy. In Jesus' name I pray and I thank you for it.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Elder Grace. If you'd like to connect with her, please do so on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. You've got to get connected with her. She's got some wonderful things going. If you'd like to hear the on-demand episode of this episode, go to women.power.org and click.
You have been listening to award-winning Walking in Power Blog Talk Radio with your host, Dr. BJ Relaford. Thank you for joining us. And until next time, remember, wherever you go and whatever you do, always walk in power.